Support for Living on Earth comes from listeners like you. Please make a gift online at loe.org or call 800-893-3377 right now. And thanks.
Two environmental organizations have launched a federal lawsuit designed to protect over 200 endangered species from commonly used pesticides. But if the suit is successful, it could have a profound effect on the nation's farmers and you. The Center for Biological Diversity and Pesticide Action Network charge that the U.S. EPA has violated the Endangered Species Act. The groups allege the EPA was required to consult with other federal agencies regarding the impacts of pesticides on threatened species, but never did. West Palm Beach attorney Keith Rizzardi has been following the federal lawsuit. He writes a blog about the Endangered Species Act. Mr. Rizzardi, welcome to Living on Earth.
Thanks for having me.
Now, we should say that you're not part of this lawsuit.
Not at all.
This thing is, what, 400 pages long, and the EPA basically is charged with failing to follow the federal rules.
Yeah, it's a very significant lawsuit, and if it were to go to the merits, it would potentially have significant consequences for how pesticides are administered in the nation.
In this lawsuit, what they're charging is that there are 300 pesticides that have violated the Endangered Species Act.
Yeah, 300 to 400 different pesticides are identified. Over 200 different species are identified. You know, if you do the permutations, you could be talking about 80,000 combinations. And by my best guess, this lawsuit suggests that about 27,000 different analyses are needed.
Well, the EPA knows its own rules. How could they have, you know, not followed them for this long?
I don't think the question here is how could EPA have not complied with the law. They did comply with all their responsibilities under the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, Rodenticide Act. And in fact, this lawsuit explicitly says it's not about FIFRA, it says it's about the Endangered Species Act. The concern being raised in the complaint is that the Center for Biological Diversity simply believes what EPA is already doing is not enough.
And that layer of analysis is that they should have gone to other federal agencies and asked them how it was affecting endangered species.
Yes, and as President Obama joked in his State of the Union address, it could be both the National Marine Fisheries Service and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, depending on which species you might be talking about.
I understand that this is not the first time that the EPA has been sued on this issue and sued successfully.
That's true. There have been other lawsuits brought by the Center for Biological Diversity involving pesticides and other species. It happened with the California gnatcatcher. It also happened with Pacific Northwest salmonid species.
And the environmental groups won.
Or a settlement was achieved, yes, sir.
Given that the EPA has settled in past cases regarding this, how come they have to face yet another lawsuit?
Well, one thing that's important to keep in mind is that the Environmental Protection Agency is not the ultimate authority on threatened and endangered species. The consulting agencies are the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the National Marine Fisheries Service. And those are the agencies whose roles are at issue. And the question that's then raised in this lawsuit is whether EPA had a duty and should have gone back and talked to those agencies about the consequences of the pesticides for these given species.
My sense is that this lawsuit can have extraordinary broad implications. I was reading something that the executive director of the Kansas Corn Growers Association said, and he says, this is more of an assault on modern agriculture than it is about protection of endangered species.
It's true that this lawsuit could have very significant nationwide consequences and could indeed lead to a significant rewrite of the way that many of our pesticides are used. One of the things to understand about the Endangered Species Act is it was meant to be sort of the Noah's Ark of environmental law. It was supposed to be the last resort, and it was a way, when originally created, for federal agencies to take a real careful look at their proposed actions and evaluate them with respect to individual species before they took them. And one thing about the law here is that it adopts the precautionary principle. It says, above all else, do no harm to these endangered species. And in some case law, it talks about erring in favor of the species when you have concerns. But what you're seeing here is the continued evolution of the Endangered Species Act and the use of the Endangered Species Act sort of as a policy proxy and a surrogate for other things. And in this case, it could potentially function as something of a surrogate for FIFRA reform, the Federal Insecticide, Fungicide, Rodenticide Act. And by way of example, let me take you back to the lawsuit in the Pacific Northwest. The biological opinion that ultimately got issued found that some of the pesticides were likely to jeopardize the continued existence of some of the salmon species. As a result, the National Marine Fisheries Service imposed some additional conditions on how those pesticides could be used, such as wind speed restrictions. When the wind is blowing higher than a certain rate, you shouldn't be applying the pesticides. They put restrictions on moisture that said when it's really wet, it's likely that that pesticide will have an easier time of getting into the watershed, so you can't use it then. They created fish mortality reporting requirements, and they created habitat monitoring requirements. All of that grew out of the Endangered Species Act and were additional requirements that went above and beyond what was previously being required under the FIFRA terms.
So take a lawyerly position. If you were a government attorney trying to defend against this lawsuit, what would be your response?
Every case is very fact-specific and requires you to take a really good look at the record. And the record is an administrative record. It's the whole history of what the federal government has done on a given issue. And barring having that set of documents in front of me, I'm not sure what position I'd take right now. But I can say, looking at it, yeah, I'd be nervous.
Well, Mr. Rizzardi, thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
Bruce, it was really wonderful talking with you.
Keith Rizzardi is an attorney in West Palm Beach, Florida. His blog is called The ESA Blog, B-L-A-W-G.